if I have to. Obviously, there was a water for the wudu, but for the purification, I need to add something. So I used to carry these two things all the time. When I was in university, it was a prayer time. I used to find an empty place like where I can peacefully pray. At job, I used to do the same thing. I used to go to the stockroom. And later, I've seen my manager, they used to respect this thing. And they used to give their manager's room for praying. They allowed me to pray there. So I've seen that if we give importance to these things, Allah helps us. On the other hand, in the evenings, I used to go to the mosque and I had a connection with the mosque. Today, if I am at a place, if people know us as a religious person, and if people have a good views about us, it's only and only because we were connected with the mosque. And it is the mosque that guided me, that didn't let me to go astray, that didn't let me to, get involved to all those shinings of the West, the thoughts of the West, because I was connected to a mosque. I was connected to a Husseiniya. No matter what time I was finishing, we used to go there in the nights and having these morning sessions and attending the majalis and the speeches. So this connection today made me to be on the right path and not to be like someone who has gone to the West and now they are involved in the same society. They have adopted the same, rituals which are done by the non-Muslims.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. If you remember, we said that Imam Khomeini returned to Tehran from the holy city of Qom after 10 months due to his health conditions. Today we are going to discuss the events related to the outbreak of the 8-year war which was imposed by the US through its stooge, Saddam Hussein, the former dictator of Iraq. Stay tuned for more. After a few months of adventurism on the borderlines, the Ba'athist regime of Saddam in Baghdad started the military invasion of Iran on September 22, 1980. The war began with the bombardment of Iran's airports. Saddam hoped that the Islamic Republic of Iran could not resist the invasion and would soon collapse. The fact of the matter is that the 8-year war was imposed on Iran due to the fear of the U.S. and its allies from the spread of the Islamic Revolution to other Islamic countries. As Saddam was dreaming of leadership of the Arab world, he managed to unite almost all of the Arab regimes in one front against the threat of the non-Arab Iran. Thus, on September 22, 1980, Saddam ordered that 192 bombers and fighters should target Iran's major airports. In the afternoon, the Iraqi Air Force attacked the airports of Mehrabad in Tehran, Nojeh in Hamedan, and the airports of Tabriz, Sanandaj, Isfahan, Kermanshah, and some other cities. Simultaneously, the Iraqi ground force started invading Iran's soil on three fronts with three corps. Although the Iranian people were first feared of the Saddam attacks in many of the border areas, people spontaneously hindered the advancement of the Iraqi army with little equipment and ammunition. Meanwhile, many of these people were forced to leave their homes and hearths. Moreover, the Islamic Republic Air Force shot down five Iraqi aircrafts on the first day of the invasion. Imam Khomeini's representative in the army, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, announced on TV, "The hired and mercenary Iraqi government has started the aerial invasion of the Islamic Republic of Iran's border and attacked several air bases. We had not intended to attack so far, but the Islamic Republic army does not tolerate the invasion of these Baathist stooges and will give a bitter lesson to Saddam." The Iranian Air Force attacked the Iraqi bases of Ar-Rashid and Shu'aibiyah of Iraq just 2 hours after the Iraqi invasion. The next day, the Iranian brave pilots targeted the air bases and communication and radar centers of the Iraqi Air Force with 140 bombers. Iran continued crushing air raids for another 2 days, which forced the Baathist army to transfer many of its aircrafts to Al-Walid Air Base near the Jordanian border to be out of the range of the Iranian fighters. However, the Iranian reconnaissance aircrafts chased them, and the Iranian pilots successfully operated the aerial fueling and reached Al-Walid Air Base to destroy many Iraqi fighters and bombers. The operation was called H-3 and was registered as an honor in the history of the Iranian army. Although the Iraqi invasion was a shock to the Iranian nation and government, they were soon united behind Imam Khomeini and stiffly resisted the Iraqi criminal army with high morale. The officials in those days all spoke of the Imam's firm belief and his certainty of victory over Saddam and his invading army. On the first day of the war, Imam Khomeini said about Saddam's invasion, "Nothing has happened. Just a crazy man has thrown a stone." This showed his strong faith in God and godly promises. At the same time, he humiliated Saddam. Elsewhere in his remarks, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran said, "We will resist, even if this war continues for 20 years. In those tough conditions, Imam Khomeini was so calm, as if nothing had happened. The Imam's wife, Ms. Khadija Saghafi, said, "I really hate war, and I am worried that how many dear ones will be lost. But I believe in the leadership of the Imam. I am sure that he will keep the country safe against the evil of Saddam. You too, don't worry." Imam Khomeini issued a message to the Iranian nation at 7 o'clock that day. In the message, the Imam asked the people to resist steadfastly against the Iraqi invasion.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Sister Rehana Kazemi. She has done Bachelor's of Science in Applied Psychology. She's a researcher in the Hafsa Ilmi of Qom, and her research right now is on best trainers and coaches for students in non-Islamic countries with Islamic perspective. A very warm welcome, Sister, and Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much.
Well, Sister, in our previous episodes, we discussed the problems that children develop in early teens. And we came to a conclusion that all those problems like backbiting, the disobedient child, the bossy behavior, or other problems that we discussed that this roots somewhere from the negligence that was seen in the early childhood. Now, I would want to ask you, this way, like we were talking about backbiting in the last episode, you said these children are actually seeking attention, and all these behaviors are not problems, they are signs of attention seeking behavior. And why they're seeking attention, somewhere a child loses his self-confidence. I would want you to start with that. I want you to talk something on self-confidence.
I will say, since the birth pay attention that you never leave home and your children's environment secretly and sneakily, even if he cries, seeing you leave this house, because sometimes when mother is going to the job, she does not say to the child that I am going.
She escapes home.
Yes. So right. Never do this. It is ideal that when the child has separation and anxiety, the mother should not be separated from him or her until the age of 2.
Right.
Yeah. But if she has to leave, be sure to say goodbye to your children.
All right. So you're trying to say that...
Because otherwise escape. The fear of being left and being alone will stay with them all their life, and they will lose trust.
All right.
In the people close to them, and thus damage their self-confidence.
Okay. So this thing is very important for working mothers, that even if you're leaving house, say goodbye to your children. Because if you escape, they lose trust in their closed ones.
Yes. Never just leave the child in the home without telling him that you are going. The children are so sensitive. You need to properly discuss with your child. You need to tell, okay, I'm going there and I will come back after 2 hours or 3 hours, and you are sitting here, you are watching TV, you are doing this, but don't
you
make...
You have got something to do.
Yeah, but don't make mistake to tell them, there is a TV switch, there is a something, don't touch it, because keep in your mind, whenever you will mention something that is dangerous
They're
for your child...
They're definitely going to go
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they will definitely go to do this.
Right,
so avoid telling them the bad things or the dangerous thing. Just tell, you are a very good child. I am coming back after 2 hours. You stay here and watch TV and tell me what this character is doing. You need to write down, even he could not write. He will just try to write that this is a positive activity. Just give him a pen or exercise book and he will try. Just note down. And he will try to note down. So... try to give him some positive instruction and he will try to follow them. Don't tell him about the dangerous thing or about the negative thing, because if you are leaving the house and you are telling your child you are not going near this thing, you are not going to near that thing, he will definitely go
there.
Near to the thing, because this is...
I'll make sure that I'm going there and touching that particular thing. Wow.
Because this is the nature of a child.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And you gave a very interesting tip that keep them busy. Sister will talk more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Sister Rehana Kazemi, and we're discussing how to develop self-confidence in a child. Sister, you said that self-confidence, that's a very, very important thing, especially in early teens of a child, because until that age, he does not understand much of the things. But now when he's into early teens, he got to have that early confidence. But you said that in this age as well, it roots back into the time when he was under 2 and you left home, you escaped home, and you didn't even say goodbye to him.
Because this fear will always stick with your child. And also, not only give them the authority, give them a chance to choose their things. When you go in the market, tell them, we are gonna buy this one for you. What do you think? Definitely they will help you. And the child will feel importance. That's the main thing. These are small habits which develops the self-confidence in the children. And give them some money when they are in the age of 4 or 5, and go with them when you are going in the market and ask them, okay, I'm going to buy this. I'm giving you the card. You can swipe
the card.
Yeah.
All right.
They feel so proud. And if you have
they
money,
feel,
you can ask.
They feel they have some authority.
Yeah. You can ask him, okay, I have bought these things, but you are going to pay. Yeah. These are tiny tips. These are small tips for a child to build a confidence in him.
Yes, you reminded me of one of my activities that I opened a bank account for my son, and he had a card. And then he's 7, and I did not give card to him. Definitely, I was using that for myself. But then I was always telling him, see, it's your name written on the card, and it's your card that we are using because we're running out of money. Now we have to take your money. And child was like, he was flying on the cloud 9, and because he was feeling that.
Yeah. In the same way, I will say in the schools, and in schools also like that, in the Britain, we have like, we made a chart for the children behavior, and one day we will give the responsibility to one child of a class, and we will say, okay, now we are going to leave the class, and that's your responsibility that your class should be clean, and you will put the everything back at their place. The children will definitely feel proud, and he's the responsible. And after that, you will say, okay, oh, you done a good job. I am going to put you on the clouds. So he will feel so proud that you give him
a reward.
Yeah. And you will put the picture of a child on a cloud, or you will, in a home, also mothers can do that, that they will draw a cloud on a A4 paper and rainbow and sun and ask your children at some points, if you do this, I will put you on the cloud. If you do this and you will show the negative behavior, you will come down from the cloud. And if you, this day, if you will behave excellent, definitely you will be gone on the rainbow. Children really like these small things. And in from the small age, if you will train your children like this, this is the self-confidence, this is the sense of responsibilities and the sense of good behavior. These small things creates a lot of things and play a major role in their personalities.
Upbringing, yeah. Yes. We'll discuss more on that, sister, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
يا مطي الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مطي الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm Sister Rehana Kazemi, and Sister, you were talking about self-confidence. You said definitely give rewards to your children while they do something and encourage them. Now, you also told us the tips. How do we do that? Like you said, some problems that are being developed in the early teens root back in the childhood. So as a child, give them the encouragement, like make rainbows and attach them somewhere on the room and put their picture on those clouds or rainbows, encouraging them, telling them, today you did this activity, now you're on the cloud.
Yes, I will say, like, Islam is a religion of nature.
Yeah.
This is a human nature, and they will like reward and punishment, and if always you will giving them reward, they will never
Not punishment.
They will never ever understand the importance of punishment and the importance of reward. If you will give them the punishment, definitely they will understand the importance of reward. So for the little children, encouragement and never ever I will say discouragement, because this is a very sensitive word for the children. You can mention, but never ever discourage your child. You can mention their mistakes in a good way, but never ever discourage them. The other hand, you can encourage them. It's not definitely you will give them the money or you will buy very pricey things for them.
Mm-hmm.
These are the little incentive, because a child, he is just behind the reward. He is not behind that thing that should be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And in early age, do not give them so much expensive thing, because in
they
this,
do not understand expenses.
Yeah, because in this age, if you will teach, oh, this is very expensive. So
here you have answered our audience question, which was based on, we had a question from a father who said that he himself does not buy much things for a child, but his wife is used to buying expensive things for the child, wherein she says that, no, he's my child and he should not feel like he does not have many things. We had this question. Now you're answering that as well. You're saying that expensive things do not make sense for a child.
Yeah. The most expensive thing is your love, is your time. That's the most expensive thing. In these days, if you are working, if your wife is working, I will say definitely, when you come back home, give your precious time. Spend a quality time with your child. Do not create a line. Do not draw a line in his mind that this is expensive and this is inexpensive. No. This is the, like you are setting a standard for your child. Right. You are setting himself a standard for your child. When he will grow up, definitely he will look at the expensive thing. He will say, no, from childhood, my mother gave me expensive gift. And this is very, like, these have a value.
All right. Thank you so much, sister, for being with us. The most important thing was the most expensive gift is your time and your love. So love your children. Give them your time. Thank you so much for listening to us. Stay tuned for extra interesting episodes on IRIB English Radio. If you have any questions, dear audiences, comments or suggestions, please contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on the social media websites just by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our programs on our official website, that's www.parstoday.com. Until another program, fi amanillah and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Chinese aerobatic teams have been performing jaw-dropping stunts to mark the 73rd anniversary of the People's Liberation Army Air Force. Pilots wowed the audience with their complicated maneuvers, such as swooping close to the ground, making loops and rolls. Aerobatic teams use red, yellow and blue smoke trails representing the flag of the Chinese Air Force. The Hongying aerobatic team, also known as the Red Eagle, is made up of 10 JL-8 trainer planes and 20 pilots from the Air Force Aviation University. The performance was part of China's International Aviation and Aerospace Exhibition held in southern China. The exhibit typically draws thousands of participants in the field of aviation from countries all over the world.
Iran has unveiled a new jersey for its national football team for the upcoming 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. The new sports attire was showcased during a special ceremony in the capital, Tehran. The event was attended by some of the biggest names in Iran's soccer federation and included a series of entertaining performances. One objective of the ceremony was to see off the national soccer team, who will be making the trip to Qatar in less than a week. The jersey has been created by an Iranian sportswear designer who designed official jerseys for several Iranian sports teams taking part in international competitions. The heavily anticipated World Cup tournament will kick off on the 20th of November. Usually, rats are associated with garbage and disease, but these rats are not the typical rodents. They are being trained in Tanzania for search and rescue operations. These are a breed called the African giant pouch rat, which is naturally a very curious creature. It can weigh up to around 1,500 grams and are known to have longer lifespans than other rats. Lead researcher at the Belgium-based non-profit company Apopo, Donna Keane, says this species can live up to 10 years. This means that even after the 9 months of training, the rat will still have a long working career ahead. The size and agility of rats make them invaluable for search and rescue efforts.
So this is where the idea for the rats came in, because the rats are just as trainable as dogs. They've got a great sense of smell, and their small size and natural agility should hopefully make them really good in this scenario, where they could squeeze in small spaces and get closer to any victims.
The rescue rats began training in August last year at our proposed training and research center. The rodents are fitted with tiny backpacks that enable real-time wireless audio-visual communication. When they find a potential victim, they pull a small handle hanging around their neck to let the rescue handlers know. The rats were trained to locate humans in mock disaster zones, such as aftermath of earthquakes. APOPO has already trained rats to detect landmines and sniff out tuberculosis. So much joy can be found in a bottle of luxury perfume, but parting with hundreds of dollars for such scents, I can take the shine off that experience. Now in Syria, a perfumer is helping people smell expensive without digging too deep into their pockets. One whiff of a fragrance is all a Syrian perfumer needs to recreate the sense of luxury brands for a fraction of a cost. That's very welcome in a country ravaged by years of foreign-backed militancy. Dozens of customers flock daily to his tiny store nestled in the historic bazaar of Damascus. They flash photos on their phones of high-end perfumes they want to replicate. He says all he has is his nose.
Here lies the secret of the profession and the brain power. I started training my nose to smell perfumes since I was 15 years old. I do not own high-end equipment. All I have is my nose, my brain power and expertise. That's all.
In the war-torn country, many people struggle to afford life's bare necessities, let alone perfume. With the local currency losing much of its value, Syrian employees reportedly make roughly $25 a month, on average a quarter of the price of a bottle of imported perfume. This perfumer sells his fragrances for about $6, drawing in a flow of clients from all walks of life.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Some people believe the internet will soon make paper books a thing of the past. In Iraq, book lovers are fighting back. They have launched a book festival offering thousands of free books to encourage the Arab nation to read more. The festival is called Iraq Reads. It's attracted big crowds. Iraqis stood shoulder to shoulder behind long tables covered in books and flipped through hundreds of titles to find the one catching their interest. Some others gather on next to the stands to read under a tree, chat about their newest books, or listen to extracts of literature read aloud through a loudspeaker. One of the organizers says they aim to revive the culture of reading books, reading paper books.
It's a crisis all over the world, not only in Iraq. There is a crisis in terms of reading paper books. One of the goals for our festival is to revive the reading of paper books so that the electronic book does not become an alternative of the paper book.
As part of the festival, 70,000 books have been distributed for free across the country so far.
The books covering a wide range of topics were donated by partner libraries. The festival is held in 7 provinces in the Arab country. You have probably seen penny farthings in old books and cartoons, the antique bicycle with one very large and one small wheel. Now, this peculiar bike actually brings fans together in Prague each year to show off their skills. The cyclists were all dressed in historical costumes as they rode in formation at Letno Park in Prague. The traditional one-mile race competition was also held to see who could go the fastest while keeping their balance. The riders, mostly elderly men, said they came there for just the fun of it. Penny farthings were invented around 1870 and were popular until models with 2 evenly sized wheels and chains were developed. Most bicycles today are based on this design. Egypt is marking 100 years since the discovery of a tomb of Tutankhamun, a pharaoh who ruled more than 1,300 years B.C.
I was fascinated with the story myself, and every morning in which I was here to pick up our inspector when I was working on a dig in the Valley of the Kings, I would wander around the house trying to imagine what it was like if I had been here in 1922 and could have been a part of that. And now here we are, now that it's restored. I do hope that this will turn into a center of cultural interest for anyone and everyone who wants to visit Egypt and wants to hear more of the story about Howard Carter and the king.
In 1922, British Egyptologist Howard Carter and his team discovered Tutankhamun's nearly intact tomb. That was the start of what became a 10-year project to excavate and conserve more than 5,000 unique artifacts. Tutankhamun's reign lasted barely 9 years in the vast span of ancient Egyptian history. Although his successors tried to erase the king's record from history, the valuable discovery of his tomb has immortalized the boy king.
China is taking the final step in the construction of its Tiangong space station, the second permanently inhabited station in low Earth orbit after NASA's International Space Station. The second and last lab component of the station was launched on Monday. The uncrewed module is called Mengtian, which means dreaming of the heavens. The rocket carrying it blasted off from China's Space Launch Center on the coast of the southern island province of Hainan. The 23-ton Mengtian is an advanced lab and does not have space for sleeping and sanitation. Instead, it has more space to carry payloads for scientific studies. Fan Ping is the chief designer of the project. She says this is a special step towards space research.
I think the Mengtian lab module is quite special, as it is for experiment only, which can be seen as a dedicated studio. There are 13 scientific experiment racks in the module and 37 exposed loading stations outside the module, enabling astronauts to do more extravehicular loading experiments in the future.
The Mengtian module is the last building block of the T-shaped Tiangong station. It has to fly 400 kilometers to join the two-module combination already dispatched into space. Together, the three modules will construct the station, which is designed for a lifespan of at least 10 years.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests at the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says, "It's strange to meet so many people with the same name." Obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them. Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools Network. And here are some of the students of Xavier International Schools, Brother Fawad Haider, Brother Hussein Ruhullah and Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Ali Nasir. Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah and welcome.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Fine, everyone?
Yes.
That's great. Welcome. Let's recommend our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now to stay with us till the end of this Quranic session, inshallah. So today, inshallah, we'll be working on Ayah 77 and 78 of Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah, okay? Brothers and sisters, please get your Quran and turn to Surah Al-Baqarah 77 and 78, verses number 77 and 78. Before we start, let's listen everyone to these verses.
فَإِنْ هُمْ عُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ
So, alhamdulillah, now I will be, inshallah, reading. Make sure you listen and repeat. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أولا يعلمون أن الله يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون.
أولا يعلمون أن الله يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون.
ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب.
ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب.
لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني وإن هم إلا يظنون.
لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني وإن هم إلا يظنون.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. In these two verses, we have three good messages. The first one is that it says, do they not know that Allah Almighty knows whatever they hide and whatever they disclose? Sometimes we think like if we commit sins, okay, hidingly, there's no one to see us, right? It's something that Shaitan tries to tell us, okay, that, hey, go on somewhere, okay? There is no one, okay, then no one sees you. Well, we have to remember that the security cameras are all around us, okay? Yes. The best security camera is ourselves, okay? We are ourselves, okay? Inshallah, in the Day of Judgment, we will say this, or we will testify that, yeah, I've done this. When we see everything in front of us, we'll see. If we do good things, we'll see there. We will be the testifiers, okay? We'll say there, we'll agree, we'll accept it. Our body parts, hands, if you do, God forbid, if someone steals with his hands will be talking there, okay? Will be telling us, okay, that you used me and stole something from the shop, right? The tongue, if we use bad words, if we backbite someone, it will say that you used me. The earth will be telling that on me. The time will be saying, okay, on me, in this time, you did this. Everything is clear, right? يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مُحْضَرًا. When everyone sees everything that they have done, clear in front of them, present everything. So, أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Don't they know that? أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ. Whatever they do in hidden places, okay, hiddenly. وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Or in disclosed, okay, they're doing. So what does it mean? It means that we really... Tawheed doesn't mean only believe that God is one. We have different kinds of Tawheed, okay? One type of Tawheed is Tawheed in attributes. We have to believe in the attributes of Allah Almighty. So the attributes of Allah Almighty are like He is the all-knowing. He knows everything. He is the all-seeing. He sees everything. He is the all-hearing. He hears everything. These are the attributes of Allah Almighty. So we should believe in them. What happens if we believe in them? If we believe in them, they will stop us from committing sins. Because we will see Allah Almighty, like, we see Him present. When we see Him present, of course we do not do anything wrong. Yeah, if we commit sins, it's just because we do not believe like He is present and seeing us. Right? So also the Imams, the Prophets are seeing us as well. We have hadith here. وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُونَ. One important point I want to say about this ayah, that is that everybody in the society must try to learn knowledge about Tawheed, about religion, about his hereafter, everything. So it's the responsibility of everyone. What happens if they do not do? So if the people are not knowledgeable, so other people, so those who are just in the next ayah will say, okay, those who are like... trading with the teachings of the religion, okay? They are like selling and buying things. They will, of course, well, come into the situation, okay? They will control the situation and they will mislead the people. So it's the responsibility of everyone to study and learn about this, his religion, about his future. Inshallah, I really want you to refer to the Tafsir book for more explanations. These short explanations are not enough, okay? But they are good. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. Let's go to the tajweed rules, inshallah. And in these two verses, we have good tajweed rules. Okay, inshallah, we'll practice together. أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ أَوَلَا Two short vowels, one long vowel. أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ عَيْن Make sure it's not يَعْلَمُونَ. Ya'lamun has another meaning. Ya'lamun has another meaning. I think ya'lamun means like feeling pain. Don't they feel pain? Look, ya'lamun means don't they know? Ya'lamun means don't they feel pain? Oh, are they different or no?
Yes.
Completely different.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So there also ayn has a sukun on it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has a sukun.
No, the other one.
Ya'lamun, that's Hamza. That's not Ayn. That's Hamza. Ya'lamun. Look, I have pronunciation of Hamza then. Ya'lamun. 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 Okay. Awala, like we say, uhissu bi'lamin. It means I feel pain. Bi'lamin. Alam. Alam. Okay. Alam we have. Alam we have. So they are different words. Ilam. Okay. Also it starts with the Ayn, but Alam. The word, the verb becomes ya'lamun. Okay? Yes. I think it is that way. So, anna allaha, anna noon mushaddad has to be pronounced with a ghunna sound. Anna allaha. The word Allah. Hussein, read it once. Anna allaha.
Anna allaha.
Ah. You heard him pronouncing the letter lam in the word Allah heavily. Allah. That was correct. But the rule says as well that's correct. Yes, the rule says, yes. Ali Nasir, the rule says, if there is a fatha before the word Allah, or a dhamma, the letter lam in the word Allah, or the word Allahumma also, will be pronounced heavily. Allah, la. But if there is a kasra sound before the word Allah, or Allahumma, it will be pronounced
lightly.
Li, li. Not law. Bismillah. Bismillah. Not law. Bismillah. No. Alhamdulillahi. This is wrong, okay? So there will be a light sound with the letter law. So. Annallaha. Right? Annallaha. Ya'lamu. Uh-huh. Again, ayn. For what makes sometimes a little mistake with the letter ayn, and I don't know what is the reason. You need to go to a doctor, fix your throat, okay? Ma ya'lamu ma yusirruna. Yusirruna. Wa ma yu'linun. If you stop here, what happens? We have a natural mad, right?
Yeah.
Yu'linun waw mad. But if you stop here, this waw mad will be changed to?
Short vowel.
Yes. Oh, mashallah. That's wrong. I say mashallah because you tried to say something, but
thank
that was
you,
wrong.
Thank you. That one. Mad.
Mashallah. Now it's correct one. It suits you now. So, yeah. Mad arid lis sukun. It means we should prolong it. We should know. It's optional, but it's better to prolong it. So how do you read it? Hussein, read it once, this ayah.
Whole ayah?
Yeah, the whole ayah. أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ
أحسن, this own sound. This is called مَدُّ الْعَارِضِ لِلسُّكُونَ. It means a longer mad, longer than natural mad. Four counts, five counts. Look, he has learned the tajweed rules and he recited with tajweed rules. That was correct. Next ayah.
Great.
وَمِنْهُمْ نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus ha, ha is from the throat letters ha.
It's horrible.
Ah, hamza, ha, 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 ayn, ghain. These six letters. So, what rule is applied? Change, merge, hide, no rule.
No rule.
No rule. The option no rule is correct here. So, just normally read it the way you want. The way, for example, you didn't know how to read. You didn't know, for example, these four rules. How would you read? مِنْهُمْ. So, read it that way. Okay, Allah forgives you. Minhum, ummiyuna. Two tashdid we have. Ummiyuna. Do not say ummiyuna. No. All right. Ummiyuna. Ummiyuna. Ummiyun. Ummi is the singular. Ummiyun is the plural. Ummiyuna. لا يعلمون الكتابة إلا أمانية. Again, أمانية تشديد. وإنهم again نون ساكن plus ها, the same rule إخفاء. إلا يظنون. Right? So that was all about the تجويد rules. Make sure inshallah you practice well. And also for explanations, I told you, actually recommended you to refer to the interpretations to understand more. Thank you so much. No questions?
No.
See you inshallah. I really recommend you. Actually, we all recommend you stay with us inshallah with the next coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. See you inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajjil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.